Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazret Muaviye radiyallahu anh had written up to Hazret Mughira ibn Shu'ba radiyallahu anh. It was one of his governors. By now the Islamic empire had extended far and wide, covering parts of Russia and reaching up to the borders of China. So when the Islamic state has expanded so wide, there will be a need that different areas be managed by different people. Every area, every country had to be managed separately. So Mughira ibn Shu'ba was dispatched perhaps to Egypt, and he was controlling the affairs there. But Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, in spite of his power, his might, his glory, and his extensive empire, yet he doesn't see himself at a position where he feels that I have enough of knowledge, I don't need to increase. With all the power, the glory, the might, and the knowledge, not that he wasn't learned, he was learned. But with all that, he still sees the need to progress and enhance his knowledge. So he writes up to Mughira radiallahu anhu, tell me something that you have heard directly from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What would he recite after the namaz? Something between you and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there isn't any second person. You've heard this directly from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the style and the way of the Sahaba ikram, that they just wanted to progress, wanted to know about the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as long as the Muslim kept that his goal, then he was online, was on the cause. And when this, we move away from this, then everything else becomes an attraction. What is he doing? What that person is doing? What is the fight here? And what is the controversy there? So that becomes our cause. That becomes our concern. And at that time, the concern was, what was Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What was he doing now? What was he doing then? So that was the greatest concern. Many things of Islam we have just inherited, right? Namaz, wuzu, and many other aspects of Islam we have just inherited. The correct way is to go and see someone who is doing his namaz correctly, his postures correctly, his wuzu correctly, and correct ourselves. But Muawiyah being such a great person, and he can enhance and progress his knowledge, understanding of deen, then all the more why we should be doing it. Someone that has learned the namaz correctly, he's learned it from the hadith, he's learned it from his elders, the correct postures, the recitation is correct, the poses are right, how is he doing his azan? He just heard one style from somewhere and he's tried to imitate the style, or he's getting it directly from that side. So the idea is to get it from there. How was it done then? In Abu Dawud Sharif, you find numerous hadith. Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu is come in the open and is displaying the wuzu of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu is coming in the open and is displaying and conducting the wuzu of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Miqdad ibn al-Ma'di Karab, and he's also doing the same. So each one's concern is that the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be preserved and passed on. Preserved and passed on. So Hazrat Mughira radiallahu anhu wrote a reply, and he says that this is what I've heard directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that after his namazes he would recite the fourth kalima, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Most of us are acquainted with the meaning, but a point of reflection is the mindset. See, that our mind, our focus, our attention is just towards Allah Ta'ala. There is none worthy of worship but Allah. He has no partner. La sharika la. So in all spheres or all departments of this universe, Allah Pak has got no partner. He runs it all alone, all by himself. He doesn't require a partner, he doesn't require assistance, he doesn't require any person to come and assist him in the running and the administering of the affairs of the dunya. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. You read, you perform your namaz, and after your namaz, now you're conscientizing yourself that this is how I'm supposed to be behaving as well. One is to say the words, and the other is that must become your conduct, your way of life. You understand, you see things like that. One person came to one Buzrug and he says that, teach me the Ism-e-Azam, the name of Allah Ta'ala. And the name of Allah Ta'ala, when it's recited, then the du'as are answered. So that Buzrug told him, you know, you don't have the patience for it. So he said, no, I do have the patience. He said, no, I'm telling you, you don't have the patience for it. So it's not the right thing for you to ask for this. And he insisted and he insisted. Buzrug told him, all right, you say that you have the patience for it, let's try you out, right? Gave him a box and he says, you go and deliver it to so-and-so Buzrug, living on that end. But instructions that don't ever open the cover of this, don't open the lid. Now, he's going to that person, the other Buzrug, and his curiosity is having the better over him. You know, had the Buzrug told him just go and deliver it, he would have delivered it. But gave him the instruction that don't open the cover, and it made him curious now. Why? There must be something here. And the whole road, he's thinking about it until he's just about reaching. There's about 1 mile left to reach the Buzrug. So let me just open the thing slightly, and then I can just replace the cover again. As he opened the lid, and there was a rat, and the thing just escaped. Now he's trying to rush to get that thing, put it back. But gone, kaata hat. I said, whatever it is now, I have to go to that Buzrug and tell him this is what happened. So he said, see, they told you that you don't have the patience for it. So, one is to be talking about patience. Is to talk about patience, sabr, etc. And one is to actually have it. Talking about it and knowing about it is a different thing. But to behave with patience, to persevere under all circumstances with patience, that's a different thing altogether. One Buzrug had to meet up with Bu Ali Sina. And this, he commented about Bu Ali Sina. Someone asked him. So he says, Bu Ali Sina, akhlaq, na darad. That my impression about Bu Ali Sina is he's advanced in education, knowledge, etc. But he doesn't have akhlaq. Whereas the very objective of the whole tasawuf is akhlaq. The whole object, that's the goal. If you look at any tasawuf kitab, then the very objective, what is the goal? The goal is akhlaq. And the gist of akhlaq, I had explained early on, is to behave in a way that simultaneously Allah Pak is happy and people happy with you. That you conduct yourself in a way that Allah Pak is happy as well as people are happy. But if you are trying to show yourself out, no, I am right with Allah Ta'ala, and you're breaking the line with people, then that akhlaq is not counted. It's not right. And if you're trying to make it work with people and you're severing the line with Allah Ta'ala, that is also not counted. That is why in tasawuf, initially they ask you, why don't meet up too much. Because when you'll be meeting up too much, you'll be consumed. When you'll be consumed, then you can't maintain the balance. Now, you've got a very strong affinity with the person, right? Very strong affinity. Attachment is too strong. You can't break up from him. But he's invited you for a walima party, perhaps he's invited you. And you know that in that walima party, there's going to be some type of a integration. No segregation, integration. You know about it, right? Now, you begin to become selective in your Islam. How you become selective? You say, no, you know, you see, Musliman ka dil rakhna, bohat bari ibadat ka kaam hai. To respect a Muslim, then it's a very great act of ibadat. Yes, it is a very great act of ibadat, provided you don't break the line with Allah Ta'ala. Because you're respecting the person because of Allah Ta'ala. You're not respecting Allah Ta'ala because of the person. Now, we're turning the whole thing around, that we're respecting Allah Ta'ala because of the person. So now it's two equations before you. One is Allah Ta'ala and one is the person. You're respecting the person because of what? Because of Allah Ta'ala. That this is a great ibadah, therefore you're respecting. So the person is a secondary thing and Allah Ta'ala is primary. Because of him you are loving. And where Allah Ta'ala wants you to break up, you'll break up. Now, if you are not at that position where you can just let go, then you can't be having a strong attachment. Now you're going to be confused. You're going to be in a quandary, in a confusion. What do I let go and what do I hold? What do I let go and what do I hold? So therefore they say you, that until your nisbat and your relationship is not very, very firm with Allah Ta'ala, then you have a relationship but at the point of need, was enough. Cursory, surface relationship, but you had the relationship, it's enough. You don't extend that relationship. Because you're going to extend and strengthen that relationship, and you don't know where to cut the line. Where to draw the line, you don't know. You say, you know, I'm maintaining a relationship for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, but you don't know exactly where to maintain that, where to draw the line. Some way or the other, you're going to mix it up. So, you know, my relationship with him, and for the rest of time, the person is going to pull up his face. And how do you know if for the rest of time Allah Ta'ala won't be displeased with you? You have done something to please him, and maybe that may be just a catalyst to your eternal destruction. You may not get the tawfiq of making tawbah again. Shaitan just said it once. He said it once, no, that I am better. And that was a catalyst, a starting point for the rest of his destruction. Eternal destruction, once he said it. And that saying that once and where it led him to. Irreversible damage. Can't reverse the damage. So, this is how we normally think that no, with Allah Ta'ala we can reverse it because Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. But how do you know? What guarantee you know that Allah Ta'ala takes away the tawfiq from you? Because you are taking Allah Ta'ala as an insignificant thing. My relationship is not so significant as my relationship with him. So, when you compare the seriousness of the matter, you understand it's a very serious thing. The relationship with the person, you consider it as a serious thing. The relationship with Allah Ta'ala is insignificant. I can break up with him, it's alright, but I can't break up with Allah Ta'ala. One poet, now in namaz, sometimes he gets the poet right. He gets the poetry right. You know, one line, he needs to pair the poetry up. So he got one line and he needs to complete it with another line. Sometimes that thought just comes to you at the time of namaz. You know, and sometimes the best thoughts come to you in namaz or at the toilet, one of those two places, the best thoughts come. Stranger, in namaz, the right thought just came in. It just struck at that time. Oh, he broke his namaz and he went and completed the poetry, came back. I said, what are you doing? He said, namaz, I can always do the qaza for it. But this thing, if it leaves my mind, I can never get it back. See the relationship, the affinity. Where is it? Where is your allegiance? Where is your loyalty? Is it with Allah Ta'ala or something else? So this is what Allah Ta'ala dislikes. That your affinity, your relationship with someone is greater than his relationship. Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi, you know him as Piran-e-Pir, rahmatullahi, right? So he's got a khadim, and the khadim is in charge of his affairs, etc. So one day he's got the mirror of his, and as he's polishing the mirror or something, the mirror just breaks. The mirror just falls and it breaks. Now he's over concerned, okay, this is a piranapir, the buzurg of all the buzurg, the awliya of all the awliya, and it is his property that fell off my hands and it's broken down. And now if he gets to know about this, what's going to happen to me? Perhaps he'll curse me, perhaps I will earn the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. What's going to happen to me? It's a matter of concern, obviously, whose property this is. You see, the attachment. The seriousness of the crime is on account of who it is connected to. See, the matter is connected to Allah Ta'ala, it becomes much more serious. It's connected to a great buzurg, it becomes serious. Right? An ordinary person, it is also serious, but not as serious as if it was belonging to Allah Ta'ala. So now this khadim, the attendant, he is thinking to himself, now I'm going to get cursed just now. Then he's thinking to himself, but how do I turn away the wrath and the anger of this buzurg from me? He caused it now, it's an expensive commodity, Chinese mirror. You know. From that zamana, Chinese crockery, etc., is quite well known, quite popular. So he said, I'm going to catch it now. What must I do? So he thought of a plan. He says, no, I'll make up a poetry and I'll speak something about taqdeer and all. Because in buzurg anadi, they talk a lot of taqdeer. So at least I'll cover myself, obviously. So he says, as qaza, aina e chini mi shikast. Through the taqdeer, through the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, this Chinese mirror just broke. I was waiting, that was going to be the response. As qaza, aina e chini mi shikast. Through the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, this thing has just broken. Now look at this immediate response. What is supposed to be seen is what's the immediate response. Vaise to sabar karte karte sabar aayi jata hai. You know, when you are struck with a situation, confronted with a situation, then after some time you will be able to get along with that situation, be able to manage the situation. But what is to be seen is what's your immediate response? Sabru in the sadmatil ula. What's the immediate response? What is eventually you begin to come to terms with it, that's going to happen. Some tragedy, some death, some sickness, some accident, something has happened down the line. Eventually you'll come to terms with it. But what's going to be your immediate response? This is what Allah Pak wants to see. Now, these people's minds are different. They work in a different way. We want to talk about them and we want to compare ourselves with them. But are we anywhere near them? So his immediate response is, khub shud, asbab-e khud bini mi shikast. Alhamdulillah, what a great thing has happened. Because that thing that was causing the self-admiration, that thing has broken down. This thing here, what happened? The more I look at it, the more a person looks at the mirror, he admires himself. Many a times I have to remind the students, you know, that the mirror will not enhance your beauty. The more you look at it from this angle, that angle, from the top, from the bottom, take a side mirror, put in the back, and this side, that side, it will enhance your beauty. No one enhance your beauty. But by the way, if you do want to enhance your beauty, there's one easy way, whether it is for women or for men, women for their husbands, and men for whatever, for their wives, whatever. You want to enhance your beauty, how you do it? So they say the simple way is, man kasurat salatuhu fil layl, حَسُنَتْ وَجْهُ فِي النَّهَارِ مَنْ كَثُرَتْ صَلَاتُهُ فِي اللَّيْلِ حَسُنَتْ وَجْهُ فِي النَّهَارِ You get up for the midnight, tahajjud, qiyamul layl, and you see how beautiful your face will be. You can be dark in complexion, you can be fair in complexion, but your face will have a special luster, an attraction. So that cosmetics and whatever is not going to give you that type of attraction. You can put all the makeup, is not going to give you that attraction. That attraction really comes from Allah Ta'ala. And that special attraction comes at that point of the night. Everybody is asleep and you are crying to Allah Ta'ala. You are forgiving, asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. You are correcting yourself up. And then you see the lust on your face. Now you see the person's face, the more you see the face, the more you want to see. Don't you see many of our age buzurganadin, right? 75, 80, they're knocking that age, right? Well, you look at their face and you keep on looking at their face. Well, now, at that age, now 75, 80, there's nothing left in the person. But then what's in them that brings about the beauty? It is just the two things. One is that night vigil, and the other is taqwa. They're very cautious. They're careful about the use of their eyes, use of their tongue. All the time they are careful about it. So you see the immediate response. So their vision, their sight is more towards Allah Ta'ala at any given time. As we're discussing, I'll say Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, I'm showing you sabr. And I'm showing you that akhlaq is the real thing, the focus of this path here. And akhlaq is not an insignificant thing. It's going to be the weightiest thing on the day of Qiyamah. There isn't a thing that's weightiest, akhlaq. Again, another thing to show about the Sayyid Abdul Qadir. Now, where their eyes were, where their sight was, where was their nazar? We want to say, now we are like them and we're close to this person and that buzurg. But are we anywhere near them? A cloth merchant came around Baghdad, right? And he got expensive cloth. So he's offered it to the governor, to the wealthy, and nobody can afford it. If it's an expensive cloth, then you would take it to some wealthy person, he will get the price. So the cloth merchant has got his cloth and he's offering it to this person, that person. Nobody can purchase the thing. After he tried everywhere else, now eventually he comes with Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi, and I've got this cloth. So he says to his khadim, have you got enough? Purchase it from him. Bought it. Now the governor of the place, he has heard, okay, what I couldn't afford, this man went and bought it. He's trying to spite me down. You know, you have those sidekicks, you know. Urdu they say chamche, eh? With the sidekicks. They want to pass their comments. Inside trouble, idhar ki baat ko udhar, udhar ki baat ki idhar. But even if it's the truth, don't relate it. You know it's going to create problems between two friends. Don't even talk about it. Finish. You heard it. Allah gave 2 ears, one to remove. One to listen, one to remove. But you know, I'm so truthful. He's talk, I must go relate it to him. And he's talk, I must go relate to him. Now, poor chap, his mind was clear, his heart was good. But the moment he heard about what this person had to say about him, the relationship, the friendship is broken down. And it may be just at that time he became temperamental and he said something about his friend. Just at that moment, he became temperamental, he said something. And he forgot about it. Now, you were like a clever thing, you went and related the thing. Now, what happens? Where there was dosti and there was friendship, and that friendship just broke down. Hamara kaam to banana hai, torna nahi. Our work is jorna hai, torna nahi, to make up, not to break up. There was one woman, some woman, Allah Pak has given them that tawfiq. Right? Not all women are weak intellectually. Many of them are very intelligent. Many of them apply their minds. And that intelligence is a God-given thing. It's not from the books, it's not from the kitabs. It's not how much you have educated yourself. It is a blessing of Allah Ta'ala according to your humility, according to how much you give yourself, then Allah Pak blesses you with the right inspiration. Allah Pak has taken a lot of work from that woman. But she has to advise her daughters, living in those days, small homes, this person's home is, so there are 20 homes, and in a small place, everybody's living. So you know what's happening here, that person knows what's happening there. And when there's so much of commotion and noise, so you have to be patient about the whole thing. Someone got his kawali on, and someone has got his singing on, someone is making a noise. In all that, you have to be very, very calm and composed. You can't shout that person. You can't fight with anybody. Sometimes it's your relative, sometimes it's your brother, sometimes it's your sister, sometimes it's your sister-in-law. You can't talk anything about it. So she advises her daughters, see, even in the next room, if you hear someone speaking out against me, don't you ever come and relate it to me. Even if it is in the adjoining room, and you hear someone talking out against me, don't even bring it to me. Because you forgot, you heard it, and you just dump it there, forget it. The better thing would have been, you didn't even hear it. But now that you heard it, just dump it there. Like I say, it may be for that moment, the man became temperamental and he just blurted out something. Now, we like a clever thing, so no, I'm so honest and faithful, I'm going to relate it to that person. his mind, his heart must have been totally clean for that person. Now, his mind and his heart has become soiled. So this is the akhlaq, you see. When you talk of akhlaq, this is akhlaq. To be patient now. You know, it's going to bring some feelings, some hurt. So why must I be the cause of this injury? Why must I be the cause of this dirt? Smearing this dirt from one side to the other side. My work is to improve relationship, not to go and destruct, not to destroy. In a Chinese court, one person was convicted, right? And he was sentenced to death. Now, he's a foreigner born to China, and obviously the Ching Chong language, I think, about the most difficult language, right? So, the person that is on the death row, he's generally, in the olden days, he's given his last wish. What do you want? What do you wish to say? And then, he being a foreigner, he'll have a translator, obviously, interpreter. So, he said whatever he needed to say. And the interpreter says, oh, he's saying to the king, again, what a wonderful king you are, what a beautiful person, and compassion, your love, consideration, what a forgiving person you are. Now, the king, he is getting thrown up. There's no end to his excitement. It's all right, and forgiving you. In the meanwhile, there is a co-interpreter. He brings it to the attention of the king. You know, it's not at all right for us. We are citizens. We're supposed to be showing loyalty to you. We're supposed to be respectful to you. So if there's any falsehood, there's any dishonesty, we need to come and report to you. If there's any lies, then we need to report to you. And this person has been swearing you. He's been swearing you for no more. He's been swearing you, your father, your mother, everybody has been swearing. Right? So the king ruled it off. And he says, you see, this person, the first person, though he misinterpreted, but he brought about a good. He saved me from taking an innocent blood. I became overcome with compassion, and I didn't have to go and soil my hands in someone's innocent blood. But what you are doing, although you are truthful, you're honest, but you are bringing destruction. You're bringing ruin. Say, for example, this person is innocent, and I've been taking his blood, just because of how I understood the case, then I would have been guilty. But this person saved me from this. So sometimes it says that one lie is that one lie is better than 1,000 truths. See, we're talking about akhlaq, character. Really, we don't know what is character. Everybody applies his own mind, own reason. And that's where all this confusion comes about. You know, I had to meet one person. Quite an educated person. So, he's discussing the verse of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَ وَالصَّابِئِينَ Surah Baqarah, first sipara, second quarter, perhaps the second or the third ruku. Believers, Christians, the Jews, and whoever believes in Allah Ta'ala in the last day, and فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُمْ They'll get Jannat, and they've got no fear for them. All are deserving for Jannat, and there is no fear. So now I know what he's alluding towards. He's telling me now, see, that's the benchmark. Believe in Allah Ta'ala in the last day, and then there you got your Jannat, and you got no problems. So whether it's a Jew, whether it's a Christian, he believes. So now, then won't he be entitled to Jannat as well? Mustn't be entitled to Jannat. So I told him, see, when we are studying any book, then we need to see the technical terms, idiomatic expressions we need to see. We need to see the proverbs, the terms that are used here. Right? When we know in what context the word has been used, then our translation and our understanding will be right. But we don't know the exact context, then each one will be giving his own interpretation. Now look at it, look at the word salah, right? It's an Arabic word, salah. But the literal meaning of salah is dua. Now, Allah Pak speaks about we establishing namaz. If we take the literal meaning, for a Jummah salah, one person can say, you know, I'll engage in dua for 1 minute. Tawa, I do my Jummah namaz, khalas, finish. I don't have to close my business, I don't have to close my practice. 1 minute, squarely I had been engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, I was making dua, so now my namaz is done, finished. So namaz has got one literal meaning, it's got one technical, shari technical meaning. Right? Then this is not just confined to namaz, look at zakat, right? Zakat also has got a literal meaning. A literal meaning is purification. Right? And the shari meaning is quite different. Shari technical meaning is quite different. So if someone just takes the literal meaning and he engages in purification, purifying his clothing, his body, etc. I say, no, I am over my zakat. You were saying I must give him one million from a 40 million. I clean my, I had a bath. I put on clean clothes. Now I am off that whole obligation. I am off the obligation. Finish. I have executed my obligation. What you will tell him? No. There is a shari'i technical meaning. And the same applies to Hajj as well. What does the mean? What is the meaning of Hajj? The meaning of Hajj, al-qasdu ila shay'in muhtaram, mu'azzam, right? To intend some respectable place, some honorable place you're intending, right? So that's the meaning of Hajj. So now if someone gets the literal meaning of Hajj and he says, you know, I intend to go to Spingo Beach Masjid, it's an honorable place, the house of Allah Ta'ala, so I'm intending. So I don't need to go through this whole accreditation process, 50,000 rand, book this hotel, go here, Mina, Arafat, and all that heat, etc. Why must I go through the whole thing? I can do it here, then why must I go there? What will you say? It's got a literal meaning and it's got a shari meaning. So exactly by the same token, iman has also got a shari technical meaning. Now how do you understand what is the shari technical meaning then? Because everything has got a shari technical meaning. Then what is the meaning of iman? Because Allah Pak says the standard is whoever believes in Allah and the last day. Man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir. Allah and the last day. So the standard of iman, the standard for acceptance, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ هِتَدَوْ. If your iman is like the iman that was received by the Sahaba Kiram from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you are on cause. So the iman that is acceptable, the iman that is the standard, is the iman that was received by the Sahaba Kiram from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. وَإِنْ تَوَلُّوا. But if you move away from that cause, فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. You have moved off the cause. You have broken off the cause. Now you see, that self-study and where it leads a person. He read the thing, he just heard one bayan. Heard one bayan, now he's explaining it, he's trying to figure it out himself. The confusion he creates for himself, and the confusion he creates for others as well. So now I have understood it, I read the Quran with myself. So he didn't understand these things here. You just took one verse selective, and then you come to your own conclusion, you create a problem for yourself, create a problem for others. So we're talking about Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali, and this cloth merchant that is going around. Right? He comes to Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali, you know, what is the price? Have you got the money? Purchase the thing. Then he calls for the tailor. In these eastern countries, India, etc., then these type of people of skill, profession, etc., they come to your house, right? Barber, whether it is the tailor, whether whoever else, they come to your house and do your work, right? So just call for the tailor, do the measurements, and make a kurta for me. Anyway, the governor has heard already that cloth that I couldn't afford, this man has bought it already, and is making a kurta out of the whole thing. So he felt very much embarrassed. So this person is trying to push me down. He's trying to spite me. But I couldn't afford, he's purchasing it. So he'll spite me, push me down like this. In the meanwhile, he sent one of his people to just go and inspect, just go and see what's going on. So meanwhile, the kurta is sewn, etc. So the tailor comes up to Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and says to him, you know what, the kurta is more or less sewn, but on the sleeves, there is so much short, you know. So much short, or the hand span or so, it's short. What do we do? So, Sayyid Sahib told him, without batting an eye, tell him, without batting an eye, you see that Hessian cloth that we got, or the cheapest cloth, taat ka kapra, Hessian, like sackcloth. See, where it's short, just put the Hessian cloth, finish. Now, in his eyes, that most expensive cloth and the zarsin cloth was identical. See, akhlaq. He purchased the thing. He purchased the cloth. Why he purchased the cloth? He purchased it, uske dil rakhne ke liye. Okay, this cloth merchant will go for such a painful heart, to advertise it in the whole town. Nobody could buy my product. I'm going, I came with this cloth and I'm going back with this cloth. Sayyid Sahib, meanwhile, he'd heard about this. This person is going to go with a painful heart. The heavy burden is going. Okay, I came with so much, kitni ummeed lekar ke aaya. I came with such expectations and I'm going with a very, very disappointed heart. Okay, nobody purchased this thing from me. So I did it out of respect for the person. Now you have to kurta ban karke, see karke ban gaya. It's sewn and it's made. Now it's just a matter of the hand now. It's a sleeve. So if that is not sufficient, or because the dressing cloth, just fill it up. Now I ask you, and ask myself, you know, the worst place in the house is the toilet, right? And one tile or two tiles, just short. Can we just say, you know, that used tile we got there, just take it and fix it up. They said, all the hadiths, you know, must be neat, Islam means tidy, Islam must, you know, Muslim must be good and presentable, not to go and make it like a jondolia. All the hadiths, just to fix our understanding, our reasoning. Now, we want to compare ourselves with these people who were the giants of akhlaq, the kings of akhlaq. You see, that's akhlaq. So that Persian cloth and the most expensive cloth didn't mean anything to him. Both were identical. He did this also for Allah Ta'ala, and he did this also for Allah Ta'ala. Both were the same. So it takes time to learn this akhlaq. One woman, she sent her son to Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi. See, when we hear about her Sayyid Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullahi, we only hear the karamat only. Only the karamat. But the other side of his life, the real side of his life, we didn't hear about it. So therefore we're not so concerned about it. Those stories that are a little bit exciting, you know, very juicy, those stories we'll hear in the bayan. The other stories, we don't hear about it. Because you know, the karamat mein toh kuch karna nahi hai. When you heard of karamat of a saint, right? Is there anything for us to do there? Nothing. We just hear the story, we get thrilled and entertained. Finish. Hey, so there'll be karamat, you know. Finish. But hume kuch karna hai. The bayan is that we need to do something after the end of the bayan. We need to, what have we taken home? You know, you go to the Rand Easter show, right? You don't just go for an entertainment. I must buy something. You flew all the way from Cape Town just to attend the show. So you must take something. What do you have come for? You have spent 5,000 rand to go and come. What have you bought? What have you purchased? So when you come to a bayan, what have I taken? I spent the money, I gave the time. Then what have I gained out of this whole thing? This whole exercise of mine. I gave my time. I was tired, but I gave my time. Now what have I earned from this? Khuda kare. Hamara dil bhi aisa ban jaye. Allah Ta'ala makes our heart like that. I have come here now, I have taken the pains, I have taken the trouble, I have gone through the difficulty, I must take something and go back. So a woman now, she says, I must get my child as a wali, you know. So where must I take him? Take him to Sayyid Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullahi for some training and disciplinary program. Now the concern in that zamana was the same. That concern, ki mera bachcha bhi kuch ho jaye. My child also, he must elevate that ladder of success. He must come up. In the sight of Allah, he must come up. But then for him to come up, he needs to be with the people that are already up. People like me, now we are down. Now we will take the person further down. We need to take the person, we have to join him up with someone that is already up in that ladder, on that ladder. Anyway, she left him and she came to visit him after a year. Now, when she comes to visit him after a year, she sees before him dry bread, and that son of hers is gone to skeleton, you know, just skin and bones. In the meanwhile, she sees this, now she's already raging, my child, and he's just skin and bones, and I see just dried bread before him, crumbs before him. Then she goes to Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Sahib, and there she sees tandoori chicken, murghe musallam. So she's saying, yeah, this training is only for my son. You pass the training. A woman, you know, you have some woman that जो कुछ ज़हन में आता है वो निकाल देते हैं. व्हाटएवर कम्स टू द माइंड लेट अस ब्लर्ट इट आउट. व्होएवर इट इज इररिस्पेक्टिव व्हाटएवर इट इज या इट्स ऑल दिस राइटियसनेस एंड वर्च्यू इज ओनली फॉर माय सर्वेंट. सो यू हैव टू पुट हिम टू दैट चिकन दैट ड्राइड ब्रेड मेड हिम टू अ स्केलेटन हियर एंड यू सी व्हाट यू आर ईटिंग हियर दैट मुर्गा मुसल्लम एंड तंदूरी चिकन यू आर ईटिंग हियर. सो एनीवे you understood the Buzhukhanadi and understand women, how weak they are. They become emotional and they're a little bit too quick in blurting out what they're not supposed to be. So he got those bones together of the chicken, got it together, and he says, Qum bi idhnillah, by the command of Allah Ta'ala, get up. That feathers got together, the meat got together, the bones got together, everything got together, and it came up like this, kukri kook. Says, I'm waiting for your son to come to this level. When he'll come to this level, then I'll feed him like this. But now he's at the beginning, he just came here now. And in 1 year's time, you want me to just elevate him, to bring him to that level. How can it happen? That moisture of lust is still in him. The moisture of temptation is still in him. That moisture of temptation and lust has to be dried out in him. See that the taat ka kapra aur ye sabse qeemti kapra unki nazaron mein sab barabar hai. The Haitian cloth and the most expensive cloth, both are identical in his side. Doesn't make a difference. So I need to get the son of yours to this level. When he comes to this level, then I will feed him that type of food. As Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's barakat, we're talking about all these things, right? Baaton se baat nikalti hai. So this is the dua that Nabi Sam used to recite after his faras namaz. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. To him belongs the kingdom. So hence the praise also belongs to him. When he is in supreme control, when you say kingdom, what do you mean? That he is in supreme control. Nobody controls him. He is above all. He controls. And his control is just not an ordinary control. It's a supreme control. The switch of life is just in his hands. He'll just switch it on and it's switched on. And he can just switch it off in a second, it's gone. Class. A person that was all right in a second and he's got a stroke of paralysis. In a second, he's in a coma. In a second, you hear the person is on a life support, don't you hear? The person has gone absolutely normal. And then in a stroke, yesterday it happened. Went for some treatment and in just 5 minutes, the person went into a coma, put him onto the life support, the person is gone, finished, khalas. Just one stroke, the person was around and the person is gone. So, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, don't think that's yours, that power, that authority, that control, that final supreme control is his, complete supreme control is his. In 1 second, you are on, you're off, you're gone. So, when control, the supreme control belongs to him, then he is alone worthy of all praise. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ and he's got power of all things. That was the first dua that Nabi Sallam used to recite for the fourth kalima. And the second dua that he used to recite with this was اللَّهُمَّ لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتِ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتِ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. Allah Pak, what you give, nobody can take away. And what you take away, nobody can give. And nobody's efforts and toiling can do anything, can be of any avail against your decision. No matter what efforts he puts in, what contacts he uses, right? No matter how intelligent, what the level of his acumen. But his efforts can do nothing against the decision of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ. No matter what effort, what acumen, what contacts you used, what type of influence you had. But against the will of Allah Ta'ala, nothing can happen. I remember some 34 years ago, when I was new yesterday, one person had his first child or grandchild, first one. And he was excited, first grandchild, and so excited about the whole thing, like dua. And in about an hour's time, he phoned up again, okay, there was some complication, and I had to engage 12 specialists, not just ordinary doctors, but 12 specialists for my child, make dua now. One lung specialist and one brain and one heart, whatever, all of them. Got them all engaged on the child. And in the next 3 hours, the child was gone, finished. So what Allah Pak takes away, nobody can give. Put all the specialists, put all the experience, all the medication, everything. But he didn't will that thing to happen. Nothing could happen. And when he wanted to give, nobody could take away. He wanted to give. So nobody could take away. Who can take away? Now one is a situation where Allah Pak took away, nobody can give. But when Allah Pak wants to give, nobody can take away. He wants to give life. Nobody can take that away. Again, it's an incident again in Springova. You know, in this masjid flat, we had one old chacha. They should call him Ovi Chacha, right? So, my household, they asked me to go to the airport to fetch something. So, I had to go to the airport. Now, I'm seeing this old chacha, very regular musalli, tahajjud guzar. He was like the peg of the masjid. Like how you see Abdullah Desai. He was other one peg here, one peg here. Both. They were like pillars in the masjid. No, you know, anywhere you'll find them there. Allah Pak create our youngsters like that. They become pillars of the masjid. Instead of being pillars of the bazaar and the malls and the halls, they become pillars here. What a beautiful sight. When you go there, you see this chacha, they read Quran, Quran Sharif, namaz. Peaceful, calm, beautiful environment. That is the beauty of the masjid. So anyway, I see this chacha in the airport and he's a little bit worried. I said, chacha, what happened? So no, I got a ticket here. I'm scheduled to go on this flight. And they're not taking me on board. So I asked the chacha, but is it reconfirmed? You know, in that zamana, 30 years ago, you had to reconfirm. Even if you were confirmed, you must go and reconfirm the thing. So are you reconfirmed? He said, no, I'm reconfirmed. So I thought, now, you know, we know a little bit English and you can just throw a weight around. So I went to the counter. Those people have got a very, very independent attitude. Say, mafi, mafi kalas. They say, mafi. Nothing doing, and they really mean nothing doing. You can shout it, you can cry, and you can do whatever you want. They close the counter, finish. Right. Now the chacha is panicking. We are getting worried. Old man at this age here, and they let him down like this. So we were still at the airport, and I think about less than an hour passed, and we got the news that that same flight that went, it was going over Riyadh, that it crashed, all passengers dead. So the chacha was wanting to die. And Allah said, no, I want to keep you. So he made them close the counter, didn't allow him on the flight. I wanted to save you. Nobody can take your life away. What Allah wants to give, nobody can stop. And what he wants to stop, nobody can give. Well, I saw, alhamdulillah. Both I saw with my eyes. Okay, what Allah wanted to take away, nobody could give. What he wanted to give, now the chacha's, he's old, there's a spine on his face. But the lesson you learn, there's a lot of lessons, there's one lesson, but what you learn from that? Right? When there's a decision against your taste, then be happy with the decree of Allah Ta'ala. You wanted that to happen, but it didn't happen. You wanted a person to love, he didn't love. You wanted something to happen, it didn't happen. Be happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. You don't know there's something good for you there. The count is closed up. Now, what a difficult moment. You know, I got a reconfirmed ticket. I got all my luggage. I came here after I completed my Hajj and everything. Now, what mindset? I must go back. And that age, you know, how do you feel at that time? But the teaching of Nabi Sassam, Ridha bil Qada. Nabi Sassam teaches us, okay, what is the decision of Allah Ta'ala? Be pleased with it. And you will see the philosophy and the wisdom, the mystery of it afterwards. You will not see it straight away. Now, here it took us just 1 hour to see what was the wisdom, that they won't allow him. So, Allah Pak wanted to save him, nobody could do anything. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. Our Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he had one lesson he learned from Hazrat Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh learned this in turn from Hazrat Imam Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So it's coming from above. So it's a line that is coming from above, authentic, reliable, right? And it's a very, very comprehensive line. Khuda kare ki hamare ji mein, hamare dilon mein ye baat jam jaye. Allah Ta'ala make it that this thing just gets settled in our heart. So that line was, kabhi bhi kisi se kisi kisam ki umeed na rakhna. Aur kuch waqfe ke baad farmaya, aur mujhse bhi nahi. At any time, Don't have any expectation and hope in any person. And with a small, after a small pause, that he says, not even with me. Don't have an expectation with anybody, not even with me. Hope and expectation. At any time, no expectation, no type of expectation from any person. Now, as far as the Gangway Sahib is concerned, we take him as the king of all the awliya, right? But he says, don't even have that expectation with me as well. That hope with me as well. Because men can be in one of two predicaments, right? One of two situations they could be. Sometimes you don't want to give. You have it, but you don't want to give. And sometimes you want to give, but you can't give it. One of these two situations. I ask you for 50 rands, right? So I take it. 50, what's wrong? Right? Take 100 rand, right? But if I ask you for 500 million rand, so by, I don't have it, but what must I give you? How can I give it to you? So man can be in one of these two predicaments. Either he doesn't have it at all, or he can't give it. But what is there not by Allah Ta'ala? Is there anything that is not by Allah Ta'ala? All of us, we ask, and our hearts, you know, our hearts desire to ask. And we go on asking right till the day of Qiyamah. And the whole world goes on asking. And Allah gives them that and much more than what they ask for. Then too, it doesn't decrease the kingdom of Allah Ta'ala. Like how a needle is immersed into an ocean and removed. Does it decrease the water of that ocean? So it doesn't decrease, it doesn't alter the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Mustafa Rahmatullah used to say the same thing. And he would say, Ya umid, you know, you have this umid and you have this expectation of people and hopes of people. This is the root of all agony, grief, pain, anxiety. That is the root of the call. That is the thing, that's the biggest obstruction to your iman. Fanana, ye mera kaam ko bana dega. This person will make the work happen. This person will make it work. Khuda kaha gaya, wais Allah ta'ala din. He's going to make it work. He's going to make it work. You got your mind on him. You got your mind on that person here. And the third person. Then where is Allah Ta'ala gone? You forgot Allah Ta'ala. That he will make it work. One room Rahmatullah says, Ishq ba murda paainda nest. Ke murda ba ma aainda nest. Ishq ba murda paainda nest. Ke murda ba ma aainda nest. You want to give your heart. You want to give your heart to a thing that he is mortal like yourself. That's going to die just like yourself. So this type of love is not a continuous love. It doesn't continue. Ishq ba murda paindan is. That love, and you want to give your heart. You're giving your heart to what? To a thing that is going to die. A thing that's going to perish. You gave your heart, you gave your attachment, you gave your love. You gave everything to that. So that type of a love is not continuous. It can't continue. It's not perpetual. Why? Because murda ba ma aindanes. Because this thing that is mortal, it's mortal, it must die, it must perish at some point. So when it's going to die at some point, you're going to feel very bitter, you're going to feel very hurt about the thing. Okay. So why did you, in the first place, why did you give your heart to that thing? Sometimes you're giving your heart to your wife, sometimes to your children, sometimes to your wealth, and sometimes to the market. The market crashed. Anxiety. Why do you, in the first place, why did you give your heart to it? Yeah, we need it. It's natural for us to have a liking for that wealth. We don't dispute that we don't have a liking for that. We have a liking. Every man has some liking for some dunya, right? But what Allah Pak wants is don't become over-attached. This is what's called ishq. You will have an affinity that is natural. And you can't rule this out. You can't delete it from your system. But what Allah Pak is displeased with is you over-attached. When you over-attach, and when there is a detachment, then you can't sustain it. What has happened? Covered in depression, covered in despondency, as though the whole world has now closed up upon you. There's no life. You have lost the pleasure and the enjoyment of life. But what is the root of the cause? The root of the cause is this, that over-attachment. Why did you over-attach? We're telling you in advance, everything is temporary. It's not going to be lasting. Then why did you go and over-attach yourself? Right, enjoy it. We don't say don't enjoy it. Some good food, good clothing, good home. Enjoy it. But don't over-attach yourself. Ishq ba murda paindan is. Ke ishq ba murda paindan is. Ke murda ba ma aindan is. So you're not going to be with us. That wealth, that possession, that child, that property, that investment, that whatever it was, but it's not going to be with you. You're going to separate, or it's going to separate. One of the two must happen. So then what, then where do you need to give your heart? Ishq bahayyo qayyum dar. When you want to give your heart, then give it to that being that is eternal. Give it to that being that is living and eternal. In the good of life is with you. In the difficulties of life is with you. In the highs of life is with you. In the lows of life is with you. In your sickness is with you. At the time that you are leaving the world is with you. So when you've given your heart to him, everything else is secondary. You're going to throw it. You're going to give it up. You can give it up. It's so easy. Because your real heart is with him. Your heart and your mind is with him. You're holding it as long as you want to hold it. You want to give it up, you can give it up so easily. But with Allah Ta'ala, you're holding and you're holding very firmly. You don't want to give up there. Yeah, you're keeping it. I must keep it such, okay, when I want to give up, I must be able to give up. I want to hold it, I can hold it. So, this is flexible. Yeah, this is not negotiable. I must hold it. So the relationship, the bond, the attachment, the affinity is just going to grow from strength to strength. So when you like that, then at the time that you are separating, then this has separated. He hasn't separated from you. The attachment is growing. It's growing all the time. Allah Baga, I want you. And more want of you. Everything now, you begin to lose the taste of the world and all its comforts and all its benefits, you begin to lose the taste. Because your attachment is to the real thing. My own Ustad, Ahmadullah Mufti Nizamuddin Sahib, Rahmatullah, Allah is grateful. He was talking about his father-in-law. He says about a month before his father-in-law could pass away, he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says when he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sight was so beautiful, it was so overwhelming. Just one glance at Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made him lose the entire taste for all the world. Whereas the father-in-law was very wealthy, extremely wealthy. But at one sight, he lost the taste entirely. So the person that is with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all the time, can imagine his enjoyment, the level of his enjoyment, satisfaction, he's seeing him. Just one side of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and made him lose the enjoyment of life altogether, complete. So if that was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Allah Ta'ala, he got the love, the attachment. Can you imagine the type of pleasure, enjoyment, excitement that you will get? Now at the time of death now, your attachment is grown. So the malakul maut is coming straight at your head side. And he says, Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. Take salams from Allah Ta'ala himself. That the one that you've been worshipping, the one that you've been attached to, the one that you've been serving all your life, he has conveyed personal salams to you. What will happen? Your heart will explode with excitement. Allah Ta'ala, and this most crucial moment, and he is delivering salams to me personally. What will happen to you? The one that I couldn't avoid, the one that I didn't avoid, the one that I was attached with. But that time that you needed him most, the most crucial moment is there for you. At the time that you are made to lie in the grave, he's there with you again, not separating. His love is there. His assistance is there. What you want, you get it there. And he's showing you your place in Jannah. He's showing you that eventually you'll go to Jannah whenever he's decreed, like after Qiyamah, etc. But your abode in Jannah has already been shown to you. Your woman is shown, your palace is shown, your Jannah, everything is shown. But you know it's going to come after Qiyamah, right? But everything has been shown to you. So you saying, Allah Ta'ala, Rabbi Aqim Issa'a. Allah Ta'ala, make Qiyamah happen quickly now. Quickly now. This is too long now. Let it happen so I can go from my place. But he's with you at the most crucial moment and you will see him. But then you need to have the attachment. You can't say, you know, I love Allah Ta'ala, I love my dunya also too much. That doesn't work. Like you're saying, you know, I want to jump into the ocean but don't get wet. Does it happen? You want to jump, you must get wet. So you can't say you'll be loving Allah Ta'ala and loving the dunya and both are in equal proportion. Can't be. Can, you know, your wife say you at any time that I love you and my ex-lover also, both of you are identical. Will you appreciate that? What do you say? Bye-bye, if that's the case, you better go with him. Won't you say that? Any person that is in his senses, he'll say that. But if it is that's the case, that you love me and him equally, but you rather go with him. Make up your mind. So you can't tolerate that with your wife, whereas you are an insignificant entity. How is Allah Ta'ala going to How is Allah Ta'ala going to take that? You can't take it. The ishq ba murda ayn dane. Whatever it is, whatever it's worldly, you will need it. I don't say, don't dispute the fact that you don't need it. You need it, you require it. You may have a liking for it, but just keep it at its place. Keep everything in its place, you will enjoy it. But you've taken it more than, you put it out of place. You gave it a greater position than what it deserves. You create a problem for yourself. Your small child, he was still learning, an apprentice, 7, 8 years old, right? You can't keep him in a managing position. Can you do that? But the dunya, keep it in its place. Akhirat, keep it in its place. Then you're right. But if keeping the dunya in the place of the akhirat and the akhirat in the place of the dunya, you missed the plot. Lost it. So our lives, this is how we need to allow the lives to revolve. Allah Pak is the main thing. In any given situation, Allah Ta'ala will. Doing something with the will of Allah Ta'ala. You got a good bargain, mashallah, Allah Pak gave it. Coming to your house, you're seeing prosperity, mashallah, alhamdulillah, Allah Pak made it happen. You got tawfiq to perform namaz, not of my own doing, Allah Ta'ala, it's your blessing. Dalika means fadlillah. You're eating good food, alhamdulillah. You're enjoying good health, not of my doing and my training and jogging and gymming, Allah Pak, you gave it. You're putting on a new cloth, no, not how good I am looking, mashallah, Allah Pak made it happen. Reading the dua. So any gift that you got, any good thing is happening by the will of Allah Ta'ala. Misfortune, inna lillah. It was Allah Ta'ala's, Allah Pak has taken it back. It belonged to him and it returns to him. So I'm not overcome with a misfortune and I'm not overexcited with a fortune. لِكَيْ لَا تَفْرَحُوا عَلَى مَا آتَاكُمْ وَلَا تَعْصَوْ بِمَا فَاتَكُمْ لِكَيْ لَا تَعْصَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ This is verse of the Quran. لِكَيْ لَا تَعْصَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ All this trial is for what? For what? This type of mindset that I'm talking about is for what? It's for that. The things that you have lost, you don't become despondent and depressed. You don't become despondent and depressed of the things that you have lost, of your failures, of the things that you have lost. Right? And you don't become over-rejoicing and over-excited by the fortunes that you enjoyed. You enjoyed some fortune, you don't become over-excited. Don't become too thrilled and over-excited with the good of this dunya. And don't become despondent and depressed if something has gone off your way, you have lost, or you fail in something. Don't become too concerned about it. It's one of those things, Allah Ta'ala willed it to be, it will happen, and like I said, Ridha bil qada. Allah Ta'ala has willed it, there's going to be some good after it, though I don't know it straight away, but time will show the good in it. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.